was thinking a lot about tonight, the things I wanted to say, and encouragement. And God put it on my heart. He always does as I'm writing over here, different things. You know, and I just want to ask a question. This is rhetorical. What's easy? What is easy? What's easy? You know, and congratulations on getting off the paper and stuff today, getting out of the whole half house, whatever, you know, that's an awesome feeling. Been there. Awesome feeling. I had to learn in my life, because I didn't always know it. I had to learn in my life as I began to mature that in God's calling, He takes me places I need to go. He takes me places I need to go. It may not even have been where He set up for me to be, but in lieu out of the decisions I made in order to get back to where God wanted me to be, in order to get in line with my purpose, well, not my purpose, but the purpose God has for me, I have to go through things that a lot of times aren't pleasant.
Amen.
And 99% of those times, those things look like they have nothing to do with God. They look like they have nothing at all to do with God. And you begin to hate. You begin to have a reluctance to go through this. You begin to be contrary to the purpose of what this place or this thing is taking you to. Because to you, this is a punishment. To you, this is something very uncomfortable and not necessary. See, I used to think it wasn't necessary for me to be humble in different things. I had to learn those things. You know, when I first went to prison, I've been to prison a few times in my life. And when I first went to prison, I used to really go in there and I'd worry about, you know, oh man, what are they going to do without me out there? You know, what you know, just the arrogance that I had. You know, what if I die in here? I can remember my first bit. Couldn't sleep, and I'm standing in that little room in the county jail looking out, and I can see the other cells. And from inside the cell, as you're looking out at those other little cells, they look real small. And I remember saying out loud, man, they got men in those rooms. And my bunkie said, hey, what's up, nephew? How you doing? God bless you. Come on out and see. I said, they've got men in those cells. That's crazy. And then my bunkie said, you in one of them. He said, you in one of those cells. I hated that cell. I hated that cell. I hated that gym. And they were, because I sat there and I would get anxiety because I realized that I would push the door and it wouldn't move, Mick. It wouldn't move. And I realized that I can't get out of this room until somebody opens the door to let me out of this room. I knew that if the morning came, Marvin, I knew that the morning came, somebody was going to come and let me out of this room. But I hated this room. So I really fought against everything this room stood for. And I missed the boat. I missed it. The first time I went to RDC, me with my big bad lie with all this big mouth and all this experience, but I could fight in the tough guy thing that I was, you know, the old gang, remember all this thing. The first time I pulled up at RDC and I seen all those gun towers and the barbed wire and stuff, man, there came a fear over me. And, you know, I'm just going to keep it real. There came a fear over me, like, wow, God dang, what are they going to do it here? You know what I mean? And you go in there and you hear the door slam behind you, boom, 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 and you begin to hate this place. So you begin to get your mind against, I'm going to rebel against this. Whatever they want to do, I'm not down with it. I'm doing something different. I have my own agenda. I'm not like these people. You know, this is my mindset. I'm not like these people. I'm not going to let them push me around. I'm not going to let nobody tell me what to do. And all those things, had I have understood 40 years ago, if I had only understood that God had a calling on my life in spite of the decisions that I had made, that he had found a way to get me on track and to get me where he needed me to go, I would have never rebelled against the things he had set up for me. And I say that because we don't know. Let's look at the story of Joseph. Let's look at the story of Joseph. When Joseph went into, when he went out to see about his brothers and they hated Joseph, they despised Joseph. Was this Joseph's fault? Maybe Joseph was arrogant. Maybe Joseph was, you know, kind of thought he was the favorite. And, you know, sometimes you feel like you're the favorite. You kind of get that way and your siblings kind of resent you. Maybe they resented him for this reason. But here's the thing. We all know that Joseph became second in charge of all Egypt. But what about that night he was in that pit, Marvin? See, he wasn't sure that somebody was going to come around in the morning with a key to let him out of that pit. See, I knew in that jail cell somebody was coming around in the morning if the morning came to let me out. And we think about that story. Oh, man, they did him foul. Alejandro, we think about how foul they did Joseph, man. We begin to hate his brothers in our own way because they did him foul. He didn't deserve to get in this pit. Poor, poor Joseph. This is our thought. Poor, poor Joseph. But do you realize God knew there was a famine coming on the land and he needed Joseph to get to Egypt? Joseph didn't have any plans to go to Egypt. He didn't have a vacation schedule. He didn't have anything going to get to Egypt, but God needed him to get to Egypt. So I can only imagine the first, when Joseph was in that hole looking up and crying to God, I could imagine God only saying, good, finally he's on the way. And that seems crazy. Until we begin to understand that God doesn't deal in common sense like we understand it.
Amen.
See, God is outside of time, bringing us to him through time. The Bible says a day is 1,000 years with the Lord. God was with Joseph. See, but here we know the end of the story, so we say, well, that was easy for Joseph. But Joseph didn't know. In that hole, Joseph was human like us. Imagine there's little spiders down there, you can't see what's going on, a piece of dirt trickle on you, you know, because you think it's something crawling. You know, you don't know that you're coming out of this thing alive. And then they finally gets out of the hole, somebody pulls him up out of the hole, so he thinks, okay, maybe I got a reprieve. And then they sell him. He lives this way, they sell him to somebody going that way. He don't know what's before him. He don't know what's going on in Egypt. When we sit in these halfway houses sometimes, we sit there, we don't want to be social. We don't want to be sociable. We don't want to talk to nobody. And I heard someone say earlier about over here with the little house with seven people in the one room. And that's just horrible. But we got to understand that's not horrible if that's where God is taking you to get to where you got to go. And if to be the quicker, the Bible says we should know the truth and the truth that make us free. When we begin to hold on, we begin to accept the truth for what it is and understand that my life has been bought with a price. That my decisions now aren't going to be mine. I have to do what God, wherever God puts me, he didn't leave me nor forsake me. He hasn't forgotten the fact that I'm there. You know, my last time in prison, I knew God was with me. See, because I had learned from all those times of practice before, which I wish I had a card earlier, but I understood he was with me. My last bit, they gave me more time than I'd gotten in all the other bits. But there was something okay about it. There was an okay thing in there because I knew that whatever happened, and all the times I thought, man, I sure don't want to die in here. All those times, this time something was different in my heart because I didn't care if I died in there. Now, listen to me. I didn't want to die in there, but it didn't make a difference because I had came to the realization that it didn't make a difference where I died. What made a difference to me at this point in my life is where I wake up when I die. Where do I go when I die? since I had to begin to start walking out in purpose. And as I would walk through these prisons, and I still had my brand on my arm and all these things, and I walked through there, and all the other disciples over, they began to give the shakes and the signs and stuff, and I began to ignore them. And what's wrong with him? What's wrong with him? And they began to want to check me because I no longer held on to the beliefs of the prison system. I was no longer a citizen of that prison system. And it didn't matter what it took for me to grow up to be the man God called me to be. So it just wasn't hard. I mean, it was hard in the sense of nobody wants to be ostracized among their peers. And that's crazy. Even if you've been to prison, even in prison, you want to be accepted. Think about it. You want to be accepted. Nobody wants to be ostracized. But I had to understand that there's a calling on my life, and I don't know where this is taking me. I don't know where this is taking me, but all I knew is that I wanted to be something different. Joseph in that hole, and on that way, that ride or walk, or however he got to Egypt, it couldn't have been nice. The fear, the anxiety, the unknown. But he believed in God. He held on. God was all part of God's calling to get him where he needed to be. And wherever you sit tonight is part of the calling on where God wants you to be. He hasn't forgotten you. He hasn't made a mistake. You got to hold on. And you got to look for the rays of sun through the clouds. I'm not saying where you're not doesn't seem to be cloudy, but you got to look for the rays of sun and keep coming forward to understand that God is with me. He hasn't forgotten about you. You know, and as you get closer, you start to look for the good things. See, when I was in prison, my first few minutes in prison, I complained about everything. I complained about the shoes, the clothes. Then when they took away the pants and gave everybody jumpsuits, I complained about that. You know, when the jail stopped giving you three meals and they started giving you that little bag lunch, I complained about that. You know, I complained about everything it was to complain about because nothing was good enough for me. And not even realizing, accepting the fact that I'm a victim of my own choices. And even in my choices, I had to understand when I gave my life to God, the day that I said, Lord, forgive me, that he had put me on the path and to get back to where my purpose is. And I've talked about it before. There's three stages of deliverance. God had to first deliver me out of sin. But when God delivered me out of sin, he had a second deliver me from myself. Because all the things I had done and believed were still there. You've done something all your life, you believe this to be true. So now when it's talking about being born again, I had to learn to relive and rethink the things in my life. He had to deliver me from me. I was my worst enemy. So I had to practice being humble. I had to practice being grateful. I had to practice some acceptance. You know, I can remember they would talk about the chow. I used to complain about the food all the time. You know, we complain about that prison food all the time. That spaghetti with made on ketchup and water, whatever it was, you know. We complain all the time. But it got to a point in my life where it wasn't about the food. It wasn't about the clothes. There was a bigger picture in my life. And I began to want that bigger picture. Somebody would ask me, Kelsaw, what they have for child? I said, man, they have my favorite. Say, what's your favorite? Anything they show about that window. Because it didn't matter. Because I understood now that God was delivering me from me. And the third stance of deliverance is God had to deliver me into purpose. When he brought me out of the foolishness, he brought me out of the ignorance, he brought me out of the mire, he had to teach me, where am I going now? But before he can teach you where you're going, he got to first get you out of where you're at. You know, if I put you in the trunk of a car and take you down there to the woods somewhere and put you out in the car and tell you, now get home, what's the first thing you got to figure out?
Where you are.
You've got to figure out where you are. So God could not take me into purpose until he brought me to solid ground. And that took some work because I had dug a hole. I had walked in the woods a long ways. It took a while for God to get me to that point. You know, and I can remember people calling me names in the joint. I can remember called me snitch, called me the police. I remember they telling me I'm soft. So you don't got soft. You know what I mean? And you know, man, you don't want to hear that stuff in the joint. You know, I'm not gonna talk to you that way. You know, I'm soft. Who are you talking to? You know? I remember one time I was at a Bible study. And I'm an IRF. Little old guy, too, man. Guy wasn't about this tall. We were talking about something. I don't know when it came up. Somebody asked me, so I can't remember how the question went. And I said, well, everything's just okay with me. You know, I feel pretty good. And then the little old man is hollering. I said, I know you are, but you're okay because you're a snitch. You tell everything you know. You know, he's screaming us on the dorm. And I looked at him. I said, brother, you think you know me? And this little old man ran up on me, man. You know, he ran up on me. You know, I can't lift what he lifts today, but I remember back in the day, I was pressing 310 times. I was getting it up off me, buddy, back in the day. And here's this little old guy that ran up on me, man, in front of all these people. Now, so I got a choice to make. I could take about 30 seconds and stomp him out, because that's all it would have took, broke him in half. Or I could have let my light so shine before men. And it was a struggle at first. But I had to understand, you know, the where that I'm trying to go. What do I want to be? I didn't want to be that old guy. God allowed me to be tested in those areas. Because that little old guy, I want to hit that little guy so bad. I wanted to smash him. But it didn't take that. And he got on away from me. You're going to be tried. You're going to be tested. The enemy doesn't want you going where God has called you to. He don't want you going on the level ground. I look at my life today. And you know what? I still even today make dumb choices. Because God had me. God had me in every way, financially. He had me in my health. He had me in my mind. He had me in spiritually. He had me in the ministry. He had me in every way. And I fell short in some areas and went and borrowed a little money here and there. Now I got to pay this money back. Because I didn't, if I just waited on the Lord, he had a ram. But sometimes that was that old fear in me, the wanting to get to level ground quicker. But I'm telling you something. God bought me in purpose from that foolishness. He hasn't forgot you. He knew you were in the room with seven women. He hadn't forgot you. But that's not the room you're going to finish at. See, you see the room you started at, but that's not the room you're going to finish at. I see that little cell I was in, looking out that little cell and thinking, oh my God, they got men locked in there. My buddy say, you in one of them? And I began to look around, and you're right. You know, I can touch the wall from the center of the cell on both sides. And the two other guys are here with me. But you know what? By the grace of God, I don't live in a cell today. I don't live in a shoebox today. I live in a $300,000 home today. That's not saying nothing I did. That's the grace of God.
Amen.
God's got that for you. Where you are isn't where you're going to finish. Keep going. You keep walking. You keep your head up. You believe in God. Trust him. Trust the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Acknowledge him in all your ways. He'll make straight your path. I can walk in the office at work and say, Tony, I got some applications I need to go pick up today. I got some people we need to get in. I got somebody that needs to go to court today. I need to go with. I need to be with this. And you know what he'll tell me? Go ahead, Lyle. We'll punch you out at 3:30. Who does that? Where in the world can you do that at? That's the favor of God. And I'm not saying this to brag on me. That's the favor of God. But I had to endure the halfway houses. I had to endure the things that came with it to get me to where I wanted to go. You know, when I was on parole this last time, my parole officer and I were so close. You can see us at restaurants out eating. We'd be at Bible study, at men's Bible study on Saturday from 10 o'clock in the morning, sometimes to 4 in the afternoon. They'd hear us in the parking lot hollering because iron sharpens iron. So one brother sharpens the counsel of another brother. and we were rubbing against each other. We became good friends. I'd call him, he'd call me. I didn't care if I got off parole in 2 days or 2 years, because I had made up my mind that with the help of God, I was going to live right the best I knew how. And so that's what we have to get to, live right in today. Look at this, use the story of Joseph as an example. He was in that hole by his brothers. The people he's supposed to be able to trust and depend on, he was in the hole by his brothers. Then he was sold in Egypt. Then from Egypt, he became in a good place. And then even in a good place, he found himself in prison for something that he didn't do. And then when he was supposed to get out, he found himself in prison longer because they forgot to say something. But the end of the story was Joseph was second in charge in Egypt. Where are you going to be? And I've said this 1,000 times. This is the difference in your lot in life and your destination. Your destination is where God wants to take you. Your lot in life is where you choose to settle. Quit settling. Quit having that down new spirit. Quit feeling sorry for yourself. Quit that woe is me and blaming other people. I remember when Pam and her family used to come down to the prison to see us. They would come in the prison and minister to us. And I love that little old man. He was just all right with me. He always was. And he would come in, and in my heart, I always said, man, I wish I could go with them and do what they're doing. But something inside of me, Marvin, just wouldn't allow me to believe that I could. Something inside of me just wouldn't allow me to believe that I could. I remember the last time she came in prison where I was at. And I talked to her. say, I don't, she said, well, now she put it, whatever her mindset was, he ain't nothing but a player. He ain't going to do right. You know what I mean? Because and the thing about it, I was in my mind, I thought, man, I really wish I could do what they're doing. But do you know, Pam and I have been in prison together since then. God has opened doors for us to go in prison side by side and minister. We travel the road together, and I really enjoy her, man. We have a great time. I don't come here as much as I would like to on Monday nights because the 10-point has me busy over there because I'm the only team lead now. Everybody else got surgery but me and the leads, and so I have to go a lot of Mondays. I'm not able to make it here, but I love you. I love this place, and I want to encourage you. It don't matter where you're at. God's got you. It don't matter. I don't know, when I was little, I had big brothers and I had my father and big cousin, whatever. And I can remember getting into a little fight or something at the park, and I'm halfway scared. You know, I'm scared. You know, you get them nervous jitters. You know, you're scared to go in. I'm not really confident in what I can do. But when I looked up and seen one of my brothers standing there, when I looked up and seen my dad standing there, when I looked up and knew I wasn't alone, I began to stand up and stick my chest out. Let's do this. And that's what you got to do now. No matter what it looks like, you know your big brother is there. You know your father is there with you. You got to stand up and hold on. Give it what you got. Let this be the run that matters right here. Give it everything you have. Don't give up. Don't look to the left or the right. Don't look at him because he snores, or her because she snores, or be her because she eats too much, or him because he talks too much. That has nothing to do with the calling God has on your life.
Yes, sir.
You accept that, you put some acceptance in your life, and you begin to keep walking that thing out. In time, you won't see them no more. In time, you have your own, you'll be able to do your own thing.
Amen.
Remember that. If you're under the sound of my voice tonight, I believe with all my heart that God has put a calling in your life. Amen. It's time to come on now. It's time to quit playing now. It's time to quit playing church. Shirley Caesar wrote this song about this girl. These two sisters. And the one sister would always go tell her mama, look at her, my sister out there, I can't remember what her name was. She out there playing church. She out there in the yard playing church. And one day the girl was shaking and crying. She began to act different. And the little other sister went and told her, mama, she out there playing church again. And the mama looked out there and said, baby, she ain't playing this time. She ain't playing this time. Let this be the time that you're not playing. Let this be the time, the run that makes a difference. No matter what they think about you. No matter what they say about you. That doesn't validate who you are. See, I learned something. I may have did what you said I did, but I'm not who you say I am. Hold fast to those things. You're a new creature. You're a new creation, a new creature in Christ. It's time to pass it on. It's time to get into purpose. And the Bible says, whom God calls, he qualifies. That means everything you need to go, he's giving it to you. And who he qualifies, he justifies. Because there's people still, well, how are you going to use Lyle? How are you going to do this? And God says, because he's been tried in the fire, and I believe in him. I put something in him. Alejandro, there's something in you, buddy. They can't take out no more. See, you ain't playing church no more. See, that thing that's in you, God, is going to set the world on fire. But you keep going. It doesn't matter about what people think. It doesn't matter about when I get out. You know what? I don't even remember what day I got off parole. Yeah, I just don't remember because it didn't matter. You know, he told me, I said, you know, we were talking one day, and we were somewhere, and I said, when do I get off parole? You know, I didn't, because it didn't matter. It didn't matter. You can watch me. You know, I think about that cheater. My wife always thinks, I'm going to say this, I'm going to close. My wife always, for some reason, think I'm looking at somebody else. Now, I watched that show on TV called Cheaters. You know, I watched it every Saturday morning. I get up ready for work, and I'm watching that show called Cheaters. It's a heck of an old show, man. They be catching them in some raw situations. You know, they waste their money following me. You know what? They would get bored following me. They would get bored following me, Mick, because I want to be found doing the right thing because I don't know when. And see, now I used to look at the paper and see people had passed away. So-and-so passed away. Well, I didn't know him. I didn't know him. I didn't know her. But now I look in the paper, almost everybody I know. I mean, well, so-and-so passed away. What? The people I went to school with, Marvin. There were people I played on the basketball team with. There were people who I roller skated with. There were people I had done time with because it's my circle. It's my generation. So I want to be found when God comes. He says, behold, I come quickly, and your reward is in my hand. Let those that are filthy stay filthy. Let those that are clean stay clean. God bless you. Let's pray.